Hello. It's nice to be here tonight. I feel like I haven't got to get up here at this podium for a while. You know, Laurie and I have been traveling a lot. Last month I preached in Morro Bay, month before that, Lemoore. This year we have just been traveling a lot. Back in February we went to Nebraska. I got to preach for the Broken Bow congregation. That was a trip. 8 days driving, 9 different states. We drove over 3,700 miles. I had a birthday during that time, and I realized, whoa, I'm not 20 years old anymore. I can't do this 30 hours straight through. So I started letting Lori drive quite a bit more. Usually in cities and in bad weather, two of the things I hate to drive in the most. And boy, did we hit some bad weather. On the way to Nebraska, we were heading towards Vail, to Vail Pass in Colorado, and it was raining. And that rain kind of making the road glossy. It was late at night. My vision's not great. The glare just got to me, so pulled over, let Lori drive. Luckily I did, because shortly after that it started snowing. And yeah, I would not have wanted to do that. Well, for those of you that don't know, I am a very nervous passenger. So as we're driving through this twisty, turny pass, and it's snowing and crazy, I would say a little crazy myself. So Lori started telling me to take pictures of everything to distract myself. And I was taking these pictures of snow. We couldn't see anything out the windows, but I was doing it anyways. We eventually got through the snow. We found this little town. We kind of in a bubble. Town's name is Downeyville. Lori asked them about the road conditions, and they said, yeah, back where you just came from, the weather is horrible. But the road ahead of you is horrible. Yeah, they were right. It was steep, it was curvy, there was cliffs, it was slick as ice. It was frozen over solid. There was actually signs on the side of the road that said, truckers, don't be fooled, 6% grade and sharp curves ahead. Oh yeah, and then on the way down we hit fog. Not just haze, fog that rivaled anything that you would get over in the Central Valley. It was bad. You could maybe see one dot on the dotted line on the road, middle of the road. I actually wanted to stick my head out to see if I could see the side of the road. But it was cold. Our headlights didn't seem like they were putting out enough light. It felt like we were stumbling around in the dark. And I was sure we were going to die, so Lori said, well, take pictures. So we have a lot of pictures of just grayness out the window. The whole experience reminded me of 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. It is so easy to get lost in the dark. When the road is a mess, and it's all curves, and when it's slick as ice, you don't know what's next. You don't know where the cliffs are. You don't know where the turns are. But luckily, we serve a God that is light. In Psalms 32, Psalms 32, starting in verse 8, it says this: I will instruct you and teach you in the ways, in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like the horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one that trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. See, our God will tell us the way to go. We can't be stubborn. We can't try to do it our own way, or it's just not going to work. But if we listen to him, his steadfast love will surround us. And he can and will show us the way that we need to go. We can't walk in the dark and the light at the same time. It just doesn't work. Ephesians 5, starting in about verse 8, says, at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. We walk in the light because that is where we find what is good, what is right, what is true. We are not to do the deeds of darkness. We are to expose them. If we don't do these things, we are foolish and we don't understand what the will of the Lord is. I was trying to think of a way to illustrate this, and I kind of remembered a situation back in my mid-20s. You see, I had this paper out of about 300 customers, and I would get up every day around 2 a.m., and I would go to the distribution center, and I would get my papers, I'd load them into my Jeep, and then I would go out into the rural backwoods, and I would deliver these papers. Well, this one particular night, it was very dark, it was snowing, there was fog, it was not a pleasant night to be out. But I had to do it because, well, it was my job. So I'm driving around town, get about two-thirds of the way done, and I have to get out of my car because of the way the snow is. I have to get out and go do whatever I have to do. Well, when I get back in the car, my jacket turns my brights on in my Jeep. And then it proceeds to break the handle off. So I have no way to turn my brights off. So I'm driving around in what most would consider darkness, really, really bad darkness, with light. You see, light should have made that darkness go away, but it didn't. They were in competition with each other. I couldn't see where I was going. It was almost impossible. So I got the bright idea, I'll just turn the lights off and I'll drive. And then I thought, oh, I'm going to run into something. Oh, somebody's going to hit me. So I turned my lights back on and I struggled along with my head out the window, in the snow, in the cold, trying to figure my way out, trying to get back to safety, trying to finish my job, trying to get everything done. You see, trying to walk in the light, trying to walk in the darkness at the same time, it's not really possible. It makes life difficult. Light and darkness are in competition with each other. John 1 and 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. God is light. Light should destroy darkness. But if we keep clinging to darkness, what good is God to us? To get out of the metaphor, God has shown us the right way to be. If we're not doing that, we're doing the wrong thing. We're going the wrong way, and we are lost. James puts it this way in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the winds. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." If after we start following God, we start having doubts, it's the same thing as trying to follow the light while we're in the darkness. If we are following God, we cannot doubt. We have to ask for wisdom and know that He will give it. Walking in darkness, walking in doubt, makes us a double-minded man, unstable. So if we're going to continue to walk in darkness, if we're going to doubt God, if we are not going to listen to Him, then who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to ourselves? Jeremiah 10:23 says, "I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps." Jeremiah 7:9 says, "The heart is a deceitful above all things and desperately sick." We can't follow ourselves. We have no clue where we're going. So who else is there to follow? Can we follow the world? The world doesn't know the way. You know, as Lori and I were driving down that crazy, slick, curvy road with all the fog, all the blindness, there was these three SUVs. The first one was driving crazy. He was going way faster than he should have for the conditions. He was probably going way faster than the conditions normally. But he had these two other guys behind him, following really close. I mean, we're talking feet. Close. Not even car length. It took us to safely go down that hill, 4 hours. It was only 80 miles. These guys were chasing each other, going as fast as they possibly could. It's never a good idea. They tell you, don't follow the headlights in front of you. You don't know what's going to happen. The taillights in front of you. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if that car is parked. You don't know if that guy is going to pull over. You don't know if that guy is going to drive off the cliff. It's the way chain reactions happen, where you have multiple car pileups. You just don't know where that person in front of you is going. Jesus tells us this in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 22. Oh, nope. John tells us this, not Jesus. First John 2 and verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." The world has its own priorities. This physical body, the things that it wants, its desires, its lusts, it's going to go after those. If we love this world, the love of God is not in us. If we're following this world, we will die. But if we do the will of God, He abides in us forever. We have to be single-minded, and we have to walk in the light. You know, we obviously made it down the mountain in one piece. Lori is an awesome driver. Even though it was hard, we followed those headlights and we made it down the mountain. We must walk in the light. John chapter 8, verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, Jesus is talking to a bunch of Pharisees here, and he's saying that if you follow me, you will have the light of life. You will know how to live. You will no longer be in darkness. But these Pharisees, if you go on reading, they start an argument with Jesus. They brush him off. They call him a liar. They say, you cannot bear witness about yourself. But then Jesus says this to them in John 8, starting in verse 23. He says, He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Jesus is not of this world. He is a light. Belief in Him saves us. Just the same as turning your headlights on in a curvy, dangerous road. Belief in Christ will save you. But Jesus wants more from us than just that. In Matthew 5, starting in verse 14, Jesus says this. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We are the light of this world because we are different from this world, because we reflect Christ. Because we do the things that He has taught us to do. Because we are poor in spirit. Because we mourn. Because we're meek. Because we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because we're merciful. Because we're pure of heart. Because we're peacemakers. Because we're persecuted for righteousness. We are a light that shows Jesus to this world. We have to change the darkness around us. Not be changed by it. Not be a part of it. James chapter 1, verse 22. Starting in verse 22, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently into his natural, intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he's religious, if he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Are we doers and hearers? Or do we just hear the stuff and sit there? Do we watch the things that we say and do? Are we looking after those that can't really take care of themselves? Are we keeping ourselves unspotted from the world? You know, there's always going to be something that we can work on. 1 John 1:10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. The path that we are called to walk as Christians is narrow. Falling off the edge is an easy thing. Stumbling in the dark is an easy thing. We have to remember that God is light, that Christ is light. You know, this world may have its own ideas on how we should behave. It might have its ideas on what we should do. But following the world is like following those taillights in the fog. You don't know where that person in front of you is going. And you're most likely going to end up off the side of the road in a multi-car pileup. We cannot be double-minded. We can't walk in the light and darkness. We have to be a people of faith, walking in the light, believing and doing the things that Christ has commanded. If you have been stumbling around in the dark, it's time to come back to the light. If you need to be baptized, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing.